Episode 871, Movies 2020.
Welcome to the Sci-Fi Christian, bringing you theology at warp speed. I'm Matt Ederson.
I am Ben DiBono, and we're back to talk about Movies 2020.
I love it, man. You know, we were kind of saying off the air, we both have been, we've been doing the books episodes longer, but since we started using Letterboxd, I mean, this is a great website, listeners. If you're not, if you like to leave reviews or just at least keep track of what you've been viewing, you got to check out Letterboxd, right, which is LetterboxD.com. It makes the viewing experience more fun. It's almost like you're gamifying your viewing habits. I have lots of lists. I try to complete different lists. I love it. I love that. I'm on that. That's probably my most used website, I think, right now. Other than my
Yeah, it's definitely up there. I love Letterboxd.
For me, it's
I love Goodreads too, but I think we both agree the experience is superior from a UX perspective.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think I use Gmail the most, and I bet I'm on Letterboxd second most of anything. I just love it. So, yeah, I've had this list ready to go. I did keep it private so you couldn't see it. However, your list is out there for the world. They could have seen it already. I haven't looked ahead.
That's true.
I have some caveats for both my lists. I definitely think we should start with our worst first time viewing so we can end on a high note.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, I normally don't hold with enforced positivity, but I'd agree with you in this case.
So listeners, here's how it's going to work. Today, we're going to give our top. Well, that's actually a question. I'll have to ask you how you want to do it, because I have a top 20 worst first time viewings and a top 20 first time viewings. How many do you have?
I probably should come back to the microphone. I thought you were going to talk for longer. Sorry.
No problem.
I have a top 10 worst, because I'm a very positive fella.
Uh-huh.
And I have a top 25 best.
You know, I misspoke. I have 15 worst and 20 best. So, okay, well, this is great. So what we should do is let me do my, you know, 20 through 15, then we'll be on the same page. Sorry, 15 through 10, and then we'll be on the same page for worst. And you can do your extra five, and then we'll be on the same page for 20.
I think we're on the same page.
I think we're on the same page. All right,
it's a
Ben.
Good feeling.
So, do you mind if I give some caveats before we dive in?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. So, listeners, longtime listeners will know that every holiday season, my wife and I just watch an abundance of cheesy Christmas movies. These are the movies you'd find.
You were kind of slacking this year.
Yeah, well, I mean, maybe not. Yeah, so these are the kind of movies you'd find at Hallmark. We like those cheesy romantic comedies, low budget. We know they're going to be bad, but it's a fun thing that we like to do together. Is we talk throughout the movie, making fun of it and laughing, and it's a good time. It's one of our main holiday traditions, to be totally honest. Okay, with that being said, they're meant to be bad. So how I was able to make this list is I have, I think, a few that are half stars, some that are one stars, one and a half. And then to make my full 15, I had to use some two-star rated movies. I did judge. So if it was like a half star or one star, even if it's cheesy, I'll mention it on tonight's list. If it's two stars, once we get into that arena, I judged big budget movies way more harshly. So there may have been a Christmas movie that I saw that is worse than what's going to be my number 15, but it didn't have the budget behind it. So I added this movie, which I'll tell you what my number 15 is, just so it sets the stage. Wonder Woman 1984. That's 15.
Oh, yeah.
It's 15 on my list. I gave that two stars. It's not technically worse than some of the Christmas movies I watched recently, such as Midnight at the Magnolia or... Or let me think. I'm just trying to think of.
But I'm willing to bet Midnight at the Magnolia is shorter.
Yeah, it's probably shorter. I'm trying to think of other funny Christmas titles, but that's the first one that came to mind for some reason. So, yeah, like I'm saying, Wonder Woman's not technically worse, but it had the money behind it. It had a Warner Brothers behind it. It's not a Hallmark movie. It should have been much better. Here's one. Here's another one. Yeah. The Christmas Contract. That's about somebody who... the woman needs a date, so she has her best friend's brother sign a contract that he'll be her date for the holidays, but they're platonic. But guess what? They fall in love.
Oh, I didn't see that one coming.
Sorry to spoil you. So, all right. So I think I've made myself clear that I've seen worse movies than some of the movies on this list, but I just have to be harsh to the ones that had more money.
Understood. So give your 14 through 10.
Here we go. So again, 15 is Wonder Woman, 1984. 14.
Yeah, it looks like trash.
Yeah, I saw for the first time Deadpool. Number 13 is a movie that had a fine cast. We've got Audrey Hepburn and Fred Astaire. It's a musical. I like musicals. This movie's called Funny Face. Ended up being not that good. All right. Number 12, I just like saying the title of this movie. Number 12 is Cattle Queen of Montana.
Oh, my goodness.
This is a Western starring Ronald Reagan.
Oh, my goodness. And what do you have against Ronald Reagan?
And the reason I wanted to watch it is when Marty McFly traveled back to 1955, he passed a movie poster for this movie. So I'm trying to watch a bunch of different movies that are somehow connected to Back to the Future. So Cattle Queen of Montana made the list. So I'm glad to have watched it.
I just showed my kids Back to the Future on New Year's Eve.
Yeah, what'd they think?
Oh, they loved it. We just watched the second one, which I'm not as big of a fan of.
Did they? But
they enjoyed it.
Yeah, for them. I remember.
But I explained the whole Ronald Reagan thing to them because, of course, they didn't get that.
So number 11, just so I can finish off this quick list, is the Transformers spinoff, Bumblebee. I thought, okay, it's on Hulu. It's been getting way better ratings than the main series. I'll give it a chance. Even though I had put my foot down on, I know I hadn't seen the last installment. I might not have seen the last two installments of the main series of Transformer movies. But I gave Bumblebee a chance, and I was wrong. I should not have given it a chance.
Don't give things a chance. That's a mistake.
Okay, so now we're caught up, and let's go with your number 10.
My number 10 is Kenneth Branagh's Murder on the Orient Express. So if you listen to books, 2020, you know I had this as one of my favorite books. The movie was trash. The movie was trash. I think I gave it 2.5 stars or 2 stars, or I don't know, but it wasn't good.
That's two stars. That's too bad to hear. I was hoping
It was too bad. I was looking forward to it.
I actually thought it looked pretty good myself. All right, my number 10. Now, I'll just give this preface. I know you won't agree with this, just bear with me, but I do want to have a list on Letterboxd that is all of the Marvel movies, not just Marvel Cinematic Universe. So that means that I'm going to have to track some really old ones down from, 70s, 80s, 90s. This one happens to be from the early 2000s, Blade Trinity. I had never seen this, and I gave it, I think, 2 stars.
All right.
Sorry, the way I had my listing didn't show the stars easily, but yes, 2 stars for Blade Trinity. All right, what's your number 9?
My number 9 is a horror movie called The Hole in the Ground. I watched it because it's from A24, which some of the best horror movies of the last several years have come out of A24. This was not one of them. Awful. Gave it 2.5 stars, but I think I liked it less than that.
All right, number 9 on my list is another movie that's on that Letterboxd list I made to try to knock out all of the movies that have some connection to Back to the Future. This is a Robert Zemeckis movie from 1980 called Used Cars. Have you ever heard of or seen Used Cars?
I have not.
All right, well, Kurt Russell is the star. 2 stars for this movie. I can't remember how it's referenced in Back to the Future. I just know it is. And it's about a used car salesman.
Okay.
All right, number 8.
My number 8 is the first cat-related movie on my list, and it's Cat People from 1942. I wrote what I consider to be one of my all-time great Letterboxd reviews, and I got to say, I was very hurt that I did not get any likes for it. But my all-time...
I don't think I've read this.
This is maybe the best review I've ever written on Letterboxd, and I'm going to read it in its entirety. Not enough cats, too many people.
So this is, what year is this movie from?
1942.
I'll try to see if I can find your review so I can give you a...
Not enough cats, too many people. I thought that was genius, but I guess the world didn't agree, which is fair.
I feel like you're just putting it out here now so that people will just go and like it, and it's working on me. I'm gonna go ahead and throw you a like on this one if I can.
Thank you. It deserves a like. I thought that was very clever. I thought I was very proud of myself.
All right, Ben. Well, you and I both this year, I believe, we're both going to be diving into the Godzilla series.
Yes.
And I'm excited about that, very excited. I got a little bit of a jump start. I did watch the 1998 Godzilla movie starring Matthew Broderick.
That's quite a jump start.
Oh, boy. This one, was not good.
It's not a good movie.
I mean, I give it 2 stars. I'm looking back thinking this was probably worse than 2 stars, but for the sake of fairness, I give it 2 stars. And yeah, I don't know what to say about it. It kind of breaks from the mold of what a Godzilla movie is usually like. Do you know anything about it?
I've seen it. I saw it in theaters.
Oh, wow. Do you have any memories?
I haven't seen it since.
Yeah, do you have any memories of it? Of like what you thought about it? I mean, it's basically a dinosaur movie instead of a Godzilla movie.
My memory of it was when they said that Godzilla was asexual, I felt awkward sitting next to my dad.
Okay. Okay. I just liked your Cat People review, and I do think that's a great review.
It's true, too.
Okay. Ben, number 7.
Number 7 for me, Exorcist the Beginning. So the Exorcist prequel is a little bit of an interesting story here. So Paul Schrader filmed the Exorcist prequel. The studio hated it, so they threw out most of it, fired him, and had Rennie Harlan of Deep Blue Sea fame come in and reshoot it. I've not watched the Paul Schrader version yet because he was eventually able to put out his version, which is called Dominion, but the Rennie Harlan version was hot garbage. In fact, I was going to watch the Paul Schrader version after this, but I hated this movie so much that I felt like I needed to give a little space until the next time. So Exorcist the Beginning, 1 star, truly awful.
Hey, this is perfect timing because everything I've mentioned so far has been 2 stars. Right now I'm going to start my 1 star area of my list. So number 7 for me, another one in that Marvel list I'm trying to get through that isn't MCU. It's Blade 2. So Blade 3 was a little bit better, I guess, which I find that hard to believe.
That does not seem to be the consensus.
Well, I think the consensus is, one, people tend to like, although I didn't, and 2 and 3, no one really likes. Isn't that how it goes?
No, I think most people like the second one the most. I've only seen one of the Blades. Wow. The first one, I did not like it.
Yeah, I hate this trilogy. If I was to rank worst trilogies, this would be one of my least favorite trilogies. So, Blade 2, 1 star. All right, Ben, number 6.
Number 6 is an experimental movie from Andy Warhol that I watched because it was on the Sight and Sound top 250 list called Chelsea Girls, and this was unwatchable trash. So the moniker experimental film right there should tell you everything that you need to know. I don't, for the, like, almost every movie on the top 250 for Sight and Sound, which is that list that comes out every 10 years, and it's regarded in the industry as kind of the gold standard best of list. There's movies I loved on there. There's movies I didn't like. But almost every single movie, I can say I appreciate having been exposed to it, except for this one.
Wow.
I hated this movie.
Man, I have 2 questions about Sight and Sound. Number 1, I remember at one point you wanted to do an episode on this.
Yeah.
Do you still want to?
I finished the list.
Okay. Number 2... You said it comes out every 10 years. Was the last one 2012?
Yes, it was. So next year.
Wow. So another one's coming up. So I was thinking about, as 2021 approaches, or now, no, we're in the middle of it now, that I would be trying to knock out some movies from that list, but maybe I should just wait to get the new Sight and Sound for 2022.
Well, I imagine there will be a fair amount of overlap.
That's a little bit of a big assumption from you.
Historically, there's a fair amount of overlap.
All right, I'm going to do my number 6, which is Alita Battle Angel. Do you remember hearing about this movie?
Oh, yeah. Some people loved it.
And I know. And I'm just going to say right now, there's a listener that also has a podcast. I'm not going to call him out by name, but if you're listening, you know who you are. We're friends.
Call him out by name. Call him out. He's a fellow podcaster. His opinions are public.
No, I'm not going to say it. We're friends. I like you in general. I didn't like this recommendation. This movie was not good. Not good at all. I don't really know why people love it, actually. Because there's a lot of fan backing with this movie.
Yeah.
But I give it 1 star, and I just watched it recently, and I think I like it even less. And I just saw it in November.
All so, right. In fact, I think I know who you're talking about because I remember seeing the comments, but I won't out him.
Thank you. All right. It's time for your number 5.
So this one probably should be down a few spots on this list. I think at least Exorcist and Chelsea Girls I hated more, but here's where it is at the time I made the list, and that's It Chapter 2. Okay. So I actually liked the first It movie quite a bit. The second one was an atrocity. It was just bad. I think that you could have maybe made it better by following the book edit where you jump back and forth between the two timelines, but by making the two timelines from the story two separate movies, you wound up with one good movie and one that felt like a boring retread.
Ben, I have a question for you as I dive into my number five. Did you ever watch the Flintstones when you were a kid, the cartoon? Did you ever watch their counterpart in the future, the Jetsons?
Of course I did.
Well, did you know that in 1990... the Jetsons had their very own movie?
I vaguely recall this.
All right. Well, my number five is Jetsons the Movie from 1990. One of the main voices is Tiffany. You know, just first name only. Tiffany was a popular pop singer at the time. Do you remember anything, any Tiffany's songs?
I've never been exposed to Tiffany as far as I know.
Well, she's one of the voices in this animated feature. I showed it to my kids. I can't remember what made me want to show it to them other than maybe we had been talking about Jetsons or Flintstones. I have no idea. Maybe I just have. I know I borrowed it from the library, so maybe I just saw it on the shelf. And I was like, oh, I can watch this with the kids. Well, bad experience. One star. Although, I mean, I don't know how harshly you can criticize a Hanna-Barbera movie, but I felt bad. I liked it more. I liked Jetsons better as a kid than I did as an adult.
Why do you feel bad when you dislike something? The people who made it should feel bad.
You know, animated features have come a long way since then. Like at the time, they probably were just like, we just need the kids to like it. Nowadays, they make animated features that the whole family can enjoy.
Do you know why?
Why? What?
Because the kids who grew up liking that crap because they didn't know any better are now adults. They still don't know any better.
So, one star, Jetsons, the movie. Ben, what's your number four?
Okay, so my number four has a little bit of an interesting history to it. So, the movie is Beyond the Valley of the Dolls. So, there's a movie called The Valley of the Dolls, which is okay. It's not a great movie, but it's not a terrible movie. It was released, that and this one were released on Criterion. So, Valley of the Dolls was, I think, came out in the 60s or early 70s or something, and then the studio wanted to make a sequel to it. The author of the original book didn't want to make a sequel to it, so instead they made a movie called Beyond the Valley of the Dolls, which is no relation to the first movie, and because the author was suing, there's an epigraph at the beginning that explicitly spells out that it is not a sequel to the other movie, despite having a clearly referential name. The other interesting thing about this is that the screenwriter on this movie is none other than Roger Ebert. And the movie is trash.
So I would have been
every sense of the word.
I would have been shocked by what you're telling me had I not read your review for, because you just recently watched this movie.
I did.
And I didn't know the thing that you said, though. I must not have read the part about it not being a sequel. I didn't know that part of the story. How did they get away with that?
Well, I don't know. And there were lawsuits involved, so I don't know that they did. But yeah, it's, I mean, it's extremely dirty. It got an X rating when it originally came out. So once upon a time, Roger Ebert wrote a dirty movie that was horrible.
And this is before he had his show?
Well, this was like he was a film critic at the time.
Okay.
So I think he took time off from his job to write this atrocity. Yeah, 1970.
Okay.
Yuck.
All right. So I did mention there'll be a few cheesy Christmas movies on this list, and I believe we're heading into the first one here. The reason I say I believe is it doesn't have a Christmas title, and almost all of them say something about holidays or Christmas in the title. Oh yeah, this is Christmas. I love the title of this movie much more than I love the content. This movie is called it's a cowboy Christmas movie called Rodeo and Juliet.
Oh, that is a pretty good, good title. I do have to approve of that.
So what Des and I like to do as we just scan through all these movies on Netflix or Hulu, and we just read the descriptions to each other and just kind of laugh at. So we read the full description of the movie before we actually sit down to watch it. So here we go, Ben. Juliet heads to her grandfather's ranch with her mother for Christmas, where she meets a horse named Rodeo and a young cowboy who changed her life.
Well, that is inspiring.
Rodeo and Juliet. All right, 1 star. What's your number 3?
My number 3. So, you know, I'm a big fan of the Criterion Collection, but there's a few movies in there that are kind of infamous among Criterion fans for being quite terrible. And one of the ones that's generally regarded as among the worst Criterion movies is a Japanese kids movie called Jellyfish Eyes. So I've had this sitting on my shelf. It's like Spine 790 or something. So I just got to it this last year. And I was thinking, well, how bad can it be? It was very bad. It was very, very, very bad. This movie, in a normal year, this would be the worst of the year by a long shot. But as the next two movies will say, this was not a normal year for bad movies.
I know.
It stand out.
I have a sense that we're going to have at least one shared entry on the list, and I can't wait.
I think that might be the case.
All right,
we're almost to the one-year anniversary of when we saw it.
Oh, wow. You're right. So number 3 on my list is a Netflix original movie called Love, Wedding, Repeat. No.
That doesn't sound like a good plan.
Here's how it was presented to me. When I say presented to me, I'm saying the trailer made it look like it's going to be one thing, and I don't feel like that's what I got. I thought I was going to be getting a Groundhog's Day type movie, which, you know, I'm a sucker for those types of movies, where it looked like a guy is attending his sister's wedding, that he has a love interest there. Some things go wrong, but guess what? He has a chance to redo the day and try to make things go right with this love interest who, you know, things have gone astray with. So that's what I thought I was getting into. It ends up being a movie where I don't know how to explain it. It's sort of parallel universes, but there's never really a reason for it. You see the same day, but like one little thing will get changed and you'll see what would have happened if that had happened instead. So as an audience, we know more than the characters. And I'm telling you, if you think this sounds interesting, this description is better than the actual movie.
Isn't there a Gwyneth Paltrow movie called Sliding Doors that's basically like that?
Oh, you know what? I didn't put it together, but as I'm describing it, I guess it is sort of like Sliding Doors, only there's multiple versions of this day in the movie, I believe. I saw it a while back with Des, maybe in the middle of the summer. It was a disappointment. I was kind of, you know, even though I knew it wasn't going to be great, I thought, well, Groundhog's Day, I like that kind of fun. Well, it was not fun. 1 star.
Wow, that is disappointing.
All right, Ben, number 2.
So, as you know, I consider The Exorcist to not just be one of the greatest horror movies of all time, but indeed one of the greatest movies of all time. It's not only extremely well made and scary, but it's thought provoking. Everything you would want from a movie is in that one. And then there's the sequel, The Exorcist 2, The Heretic, which is the polar opposite of that movie in every single way. It's awful in ways that few movies have ever found it possible to be awful. I will say this movie was very entertaining from in fact, both my number 1 and number 2, which no points for guessing what number 1 is going to be, are both in that category of so bad that they were actually entertaining experiences to watch. But how anybody thought that it was a good idea to not only make it a sequel to The Exorcist, but to make it whatever this thing is beyond me. It's a miracle this movie got made, because somebody should have taken one look at the script and canceled the whole project. It's that bad.
Wow. That does sound bad. What did you give it? I missed your star rating.
I gave it a half of a star.
Okay, yeah, my number 2 is also half a star. I only gave 2 things half a star this year, so number 1 will be obvious, and maybe you've already figured it out, listeners, but number 2 for me, Ben, sorry, I'm going to pop my phone's ringing. I just want to go shut it off real quick.
All right.
All right, we're back. I had to go shut off my phone. It was ringing. Guess who it was? It was somebody calling to ask for money for a local charity that I've given to in the past.
You tell them no.
I did.
Tell them no.
All right, Ben. As I was saying, half star. There's only 2 half stars. One definitely deserves it. And this one, I mean, it's a cheesy Christmas movie, so I should have known what I was getting myself into. But I don't usually, even for those movies, give a half star. But this one, called Christmas Crush from 2019 was so bad. I actually felt mad during it just because there was so much about it that I guess the writing was so bad. It wasn't fun like doesn't I usually have. It's just aggravating. Right, I'm just going to say one interesting thing about this Christmas Crush movie. So it came out in 2019. However, a few years ago, Des and I watched a different movie called Christmas Crush that came out in 2012. Interestingly, the same director did both movies.
Oh, my goodness.
And both movies sort of have, even though they're not good, a unique twist. And I would say Christmas Crush is about as bland of a title for a movie as you can come up with when it comes to a romantic comedy. Like, the one that we watched from 2019 had to do with a magical wish that was made. The one from 2012 was a Christmas-themed high school reunion. So, I mean, Christmas Crush, bad title, bad movie. It's my number two worst movie of the year. Ben?
It's almost as though they know their target audience is not terribly discerning.
Same director, though. Isn't that crazy?
That's wild.
All right, Ben.
All right. Our number one is Cats.
Yeah, Cats. Number one worst movie of the year. And this one actually tried to be good as opposed to Christmas Crush.
This is true. And I got to say, I so enjoyed seeing Cats in the theater with you and Andy and Sam. It was a very entertaining experience. It made all the more special by the fact that it was the final one for many, many months as COVID hit. But this movie truly worse than the entire COVID pandemic.
Yeah, my very last line, I won't read my whole review, but the last line of my review is, this is probably the worst movie I've ever seen, and for the first time that I can remember, I wish that I could give a 0-star rating.
It was very bad, but it was so entertaining. Like, in another way, you know, there's a part of me that wants to give Cats 5 stars because it was so... I've never experienced anything like that before. That was so off the wall in every way a movie can be off the wall. And it was trying so hard. Like you said, it was trying to be good. And it's just, there's something about, like, this is why I don't... spend any time on movies like Sharknado, because they set out to make a bad movie. Well, congratulations, you succeeded. But a movie like the truly great bad movie is the one that swings to for the fences, that puts its heart and soul into it and fails in every way it can fail, and that is Cats.
Wow. Well,
it's a miracle this movie exists.
It is crazy. And listeners, if you're out there and if you're tempted, you just want to check it out, well, it's on HBO Max right now.
What would you recommend people watch, Cats or Wonder Woman 1984?
I would say Wonder Woman, I mean, based on my list.
I would say Cats, 100%.
All right.
Ben, no, your list says that Wonder Woman is the better movie. But which one should people watch?
I see what you're saying.
Yeah. I think you need to see Cats.
Yeah, I guess if you're saying it that way, you've probably already seen a movie like Wonder Woman 84.
Exactly. You've never seen anything like Cats.
All right, Ben.
Not even close.
Let's do our top 20 favorite first-time viewings.
All right, so I'm going to rip through my 25 through 21 very quickly here. All right,
make it happen, Captain.
25, American Beauty. Never seen it before, but I very much enjoyed it. Number 24, The Favorite, with Olivia Colman in it. Number 3, A Master Builder. Actually, a lot of people do not like this movie. It's got a very low average on Letterboxd. It's got a 2.8 average, but I thought it was fantastic. Number 22, The Day of the Jackal. And number 21 is Tess from Roman Polanski.
All right. I do want to note, I have some 5-star and some 4.5 stars. So how I did it is, of course, put the 4.5 at the bottom of the list. But I also have on the list...
That's not how I did mine.
Okay, well, I also have on my list, since it's on Letterboxd, I put it on this list. But I do have 4 miniseries on here. Did you allow that?
I didn't have any this year, but I've done that in the past. So the reason I don't do all the 4.5 stars first is that's how I felt at the time I rated the movie. You know, part of the point of a year-end list is you have the benefit of reflection.
I feel like we have this conversation once a year, or at least maybe once or twice a year. I stand strictly by my rating, and I don't waver, even though, like, I'm just going to spoil one that's coming up. Bridge in the River Kwai is a 5-star movie to me now, but for whatever reason, I gave it 4.5.
Yeah, but you're not bound by what you did when you watched it.
I am bound.
You're you.
I'm bound. That's what I'm saying. I'm bound by it. And so that's how I do my list. All right, Ben.
Let's dive in. I think we're on the same page. Yeah. All right, what's your number 20?
All right, well, throughout 2020, I was finally checking out some of those Universal monster movies, the originals. And number 20 for me is the 1932 movie called The Mummy. 4.5 stars.
Okay, I wasn't a huge fan of that one.
Yeah, this would be the one of all the ones I've watched from Universal. Well, maybe not of all of them, but one of them that I watched on that list where I feel like I've probably liked it a little less since then, whereas other ones I've liked a little bit more.
Yeah.
All right.
Number 20 for me is Django Unchained from Quentin Tarantino.
All right.
I watched all the Quentin Tarantinos this year, and that one was a winner.
Yeah, I have not seen that one. Now, Ben, on the books episode, you talked a lot about David Foster Wallace. And there is a movie about, not his life as a whole, but a peek into his life in, I think, 1996. Have you heard of the movie The End of the Tour?
I have, because you told me about it. Okay. I want to watch it.
Well, that's my number 19, The End of the Tour, starring Jason Segel and Jesse Eisenberg as David Foster Wallace.
My number 19 is Rambo First Blood.
Oh, man. That's crazy that I haven't watched it yet. I have to watch it soon so that we can do our... I mean, we have to ramble with Rambo. Should we do it... it's going to have to be February now based on our scheduling.
It is. It is. But we'll get there.
All right. That's.
I really liked the first movie. I thought it was fantastic.
That's happening. Great. All right. Number 18 for me is an Anne Hathaway movie that I think breaks the mold of what she's usually in. It came out in 2016. It's called Colossal.
I've been interested in seeing this movie, but I have not yet done
it. It looks like a kaiju movie, and in some ways it is, but in other ways it's not.
Okay.
So there it is.
18 for me is a movie called Barcelona from Whit Stillman. This was very entertaining.
All right. Number 17 for me. John Wick, an action series that really surprised me. When I had first heard about it, not interested at all. It had been recommended to me by some friends who really liked them. The Blu-ray was borrowed to me by this friend, Reggie, actually, who I do some episodes with at the Patreon feed, Stuff Ben Doesn't Like, a whole podcast about stuff Ben doesn't like. So we covered John Wick, even though I know, Ben, you've complained because you haven't technically seen it, so you don't technically not like it.
And I'm interested in seeing it.
But
I just hate your fake news podcast. Yeah.
So I was shocked. I thought it was going to be just a run-of-the-mill revenge movie. It's not that. It is revenge, but there's more to it. So John Wick, 4.5.
If I like it, I think you have to delete the episode.
I can't, but I do hear what you're saying.
Or at least reissue it with a disclaimer.
Well, maybe I could just release another episode saying, well, Ben has come to like John Wick. I mean, fair is fair.
Fair is fair. Number 17 for me is A Room with a View, the Merchant Ivory movie from 1985 with Helena Bonham Carter and Daniel Day-Lewis. It is very good.
All right. I don't think I have heard of that one. I mean, maybe I've heard of it, but I don't know much about it. All right. Number 16, another monster movie. It's The Invisible Man, 1933.
Okay.
Were you a fan of this one?
Yeah, it's all right.
I mean, you got to be impressed. 1933, special effects, pretty good.
Well, yeah, you didn't ask me what I thought of the special effects by 1933 standards. It's just what I thought of the movie, and the movie is just all right.
What did you think of the effects by 1933 standards?
Very impressive.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too.
Impressive. Number 16 for me, Odd Man Out. This is a Carol Reed movie from 1947.
All right. I believe what I'm about to announce is my last monster movie. No, it's not. Second to last monster movie on my list. Dracula.
Oh,
Dracula, 1931. That's my number 15.
Dracula is very good. My number 15 is a very off-the-wall movie called My Winnipeg by Guy Madden. And it's this kind of comes across as a self-documentary of his life, but it's very off-the-wall and if you're just in the mood for something quirky, you can do can't do much worse than that.
All right, Ben, my next entry, I'm not sure if you know, I've seen, it's a David Lean film from 1946. It's called Great Expectations, based on the Charles Dickens classic.
I have seen Great Expectations. I didn't know you'd seen it, though. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I loved it. And this is one of those where I gave it 4.5 stars. If you were to ask me right now, I'd say 5. In fact, the next run of movies that I'm looking at, I feel like all these are 5-star movies that I gave 4.5. But it is what it is. Great Expectations, great movie.
Number 14 for me, Paul Thomas Anderson's The Master. This is with Philip Seymour Hoffman and Joaquin Phoenix. Very good. It's not the last PTA movie on this list.
All right. Number 13 for me. I'm interested to know if you've seen this movie. It is, the director is Billy Wilder. It's called The Apartment.
I have seen The Apartment. It's very good.
Yeah, I'm not sure what drew me to it. I just decided to check it out and was, really enjoyed it. It took some turns I wasn't expecting, of course, but... Yeah, I think I've liked what I've seen from him. I watched Sunset Boulevard also.
I love Sunset Boulevard. Some Like It Hot, 7 Year Itch. Billy Wilder's great.
All right, what do you got for number? What are you at? Are you at 13 or 12?
I am at 13, and I have The King of Comedy by Martin Scorsese.
I watched this movie last year.
It was fantastic. Yeah, that's very good.
All right, Ben. Well, my number 12 is a movie that launched a whole new podcast over on our Patreon feed.
I know which one this is.
If you have been enjoying the podcast called The Kwai Guys, then I'm sure you also enjoy the movie called The Bridge on the River Kwai.
Yeah,
5 stars. But I give it 4.5.
The thing though is that even if you haven't seen Bridge on the River Kwai, you can still enjoy the Kwai Guys podcast.
Absolutely, and we should confess there's only one episode. Although we do have a great episode 2 planned, we just haven't launched it yet.
And we did our top 5 bridges. I think we're going to do our top 5 rivers next.
Yeah, once we get through, the next 4 or 5 weeks planned out. Once we get through that, let's just take a night to take. We'll take a break from the main feed and we'll cover some of these Patreon feed episodes that we've been promising because we owe the listeners another Kwai Guys.
I think that is a great idea.
All right, Ben, number 12.
Number 12 for me is La La Land. I was not expecting to love this movie. The opening scene started and everybody was dancing on cars, and I thought to myself, I'm going to hate this movie. And then I love the movie.
Yeah.
So don't judge a book by its first scene.
My number 11 is a movie you recently found out that I had watched this year and you were surprised. Clint Eastwood in Dirty Harry.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. So I love Dirty Harry.
I've only seen the first and I can't remember what your recommendation was on continuing on with the other movies. There's 4, correct?
There's 5. Watch 2 and 3, and then if you want to continue with 4 and 5, do so at your own risk.
Okay. Got it. Number 11, Ben.
Kill Bill Volume 2.
Oh.
I like the Kill Bills. I'm looking at my list, though, and I believe I've neglected to put The Hateful Eight on here, which should have been in my top 25, so the list is fake news, but we'll keep rolling with
it. Now, I haven't looked at your list. Is Kill Bill Volume 1 on the...
It is not.
Okay, what made 2 so much better than 1?
It's a conclusion to the story. No, I don't know. I just like 2 better than 1.
I can see that. I like Avengers Infinity War, but Avengers Endgame concludes the story, so it's superior.
That's true. Same type of thing.
All right. Number 10, a movie that I think some listeners will be surprised. I just watched for the first time maybe a few weeks ago during Christmas. It's The Muppet Christmas Carol. So many people love this Christmas
I
movie.
Love The Muppet Christmas Carol.
Yeah, it was great. I gave it 4.5, but I could see this being a 5.
Yeah, you said something like you didn't think the songs were very good.
I is that what I wrote? I can't remember that. Let me go check.
Terrible opinion.
Let's see. No, I just said I wish the music was better. I said the storytelling is excellent. I just wish the music was better.
The music is great.
Some music is great. I wish
there
it was better.
Mr. Humbug. There goes Mr. Scrooge.
I don't know. Maybe when was the first time you saw it?
I'm getting texted by my wife. I have to. Can we make this to be continued?
This episode?
Yes. I have to go.
This very second?
She's not feeling good.
Oh, no.
She's sighed.
Do you want to do movies 2020 part two?
Yes, I gotta go.
All right.
I'm sorry.
No problem. I mean, you gotta do what you gotta do. So, listeners, we're gonna... Bye, Ben.
We'll do our top 10 next time.
Goodbye. Listeners, thanks for joining us here tonight. You know, family comes first here at the Sci-Fi Christian. I think you all understand that. We haven't planned to do a Dune episode over on the extra feed. So we'll put that off for next week also. So listeners, thanks again. I'm Matt Anderson. We're the Sci-Fi Christian. Signing off. Next week we'll be back with, let's see, I just gave my number 10. So Ben's top 10 and my top 9. And we'll do other things as well. But for now, that's all from here. I'm Matt Anderson. He's Ben. We're signing off. Goodbye.